We're now going on to the fifth talk on the Eucharist, because I want to continue this understanding of the Eucharist. The words over the cup, they sum up the life of Jesus. This is my blood, which is poured out for you. At the supper, you see, the accent moves from the kingdom to Jesus, to the covenant. And now there's clear talk of Jesus' death and his shed blood. The tradition, these two-fold traditions, the covenant in my blood, to drink this is to enter into the covenant established by the blood of Jesus. You become a covenant sharer. The Palestinian tradition, this is the blood of the covenant. To drink is to receive the blood of Jesus insofar as it is covenant blood, binding us to God. Blood is shed for you, the multitude. So, the words over the chalice, they're dialogical, as are the words over the bread. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, you see, it's dialogical. It's a prophetic gesture. This is my body, this is my blood. And it is symbolic language, but it's symbolic language that changes the reality to which it refers. This is my body, this is my blood. This is no longer bread and wine. This is my body, this is my blood. It looks like bread and wine, but it's not. Oh, how some of the saints were just wrapped in ecstasy. Catherine of Siena, nearly every time she received the Eucharist, was caught up into ecstasy. You know what she used to say? Lord, this is beautiful. This is so wonderful. But how long do I have to keep it up in symbol? I want to be there in heaven and see you. Do we pray like that? Or do we get our thing and walk back and kind of forget just what we did? This is the Eucharist. You see? It is the cup of salvation. It is my blood. Shed blood implies a violent death rather than a sacrificial note. Drink, not just sprinkle the blood, drink it. And so, in the action of Jesus, which must be interiorized, drink this. The Jewish sacrifices passes from shadow to reality. Because we're now eating and drinking the very body and blood of the Messiah himself, which is glorious and radiant and filled with divinity. The angels are there in awe at this humanity upon which we are feeding. You see? And so that's how that text goes like that. There are, if you want, and I'm borrowing here from Father Leon Dufour, there are three dimensions, vertical, horizontal, and temporal. The vertical axis, in which Jesus is united with creation, the bread and the cup on the one hand, and with God and his reign on the other, so they're joined, heaven and earth, in the Eucharist. The horizontal, in which Jesus is linked with his disciples who are present, and through them to the multitude and to us. This horizontal and the temporal that joins in the limited presence of the account of the past of Jesus of Nazareth, you see, the three moments which are suggested, imminent death, active community, and final banquet. And in that final banquet, we have Eucharistic celebration in an ineffable way forever. That's why St. Catherine of Siena used to say, thank you, Lord, but how long do we have to keep this up in symbol? I want to see you. I want to be with you. Thank you for this gift, but I want more. I want to be with you, see you, touch you, rejoice with you forever. Okay. And so, That's the meaning of that dimension of the Eucharist, okay? Now we'll take just a few little other points in the Eucharist. First, notice, it's Passover food. It's unleavened bread, and it's wine. And so the Passover, you see, as Paul says, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. So we eat and drink now the bread of sincerity. It's not only sincerity, it's real. It's the body of Christ. Who would have thought? What mind would it take as our Lord is praying and thinking, I want to be not only these few thousand who see me, but the millions who are going to believe in me and follow me and listen to my word. What can I do for them? I can give them my body and blood to live on, to feed on, to touch, to be there, so that they get used to heaven. That's what I want to do for them. So at this Last Supper, I'm going to say, take, eat, but then do this in memory of me. To whom? Only the disciples? No, to the whole church. But what does memory mean in this kind of a situation? It means to have the reality so present that you're different. Then you are remembering. It's not just enough. And so this Eucharist is the heart, in a way, along with the act of love in which Jesus died, which is narrated. This is the heart of the Passion narrative. This is what the whole world is waiting for, to be fed by the reality and the majesty, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And that we have every day if we want it. Every day. First fed on his word and prepared in our hearts, and then actually fed on his body and blood. Like a mother who feeds her child from her breast, gives the child her milk, which is formed by her body. Our Lord goes one further and gives us his body itself. And so, that's the Eucharist. But I want to have a few more remarks on the Eucharist because of its power and its nature. As I say, these articles try to point out to us that there are two traditions, but they're saying the same thing. But you see, do this in memory of me doesn't just mean do it. It means be aware that I'm present, that I'm there. It's I'm the one changing this by my Spirit. I'm the one feeding you. I'm the one just so anxious to become part of you and feed you and protect you and guide you and bring you to heaven. Our Lord once said to St. Augustine, every other food you transform into yourself. This food, the Eucharist, I change you into me. Now, if we would meditate on these things more often, we would be much more alive and ready and malleable when we receive the sacred body and blood of our Lord. And that's why I thought it was worth going back and taking more time to think about this. You see, this body and blood. He's doing that knowing he's going to have to go to Gethsemane and be overwhelmed with fear and suffering, sweating blood, to begin the process which will give that reality a reality, a substance that is divine forever. Because this is my body which is given up for you. And so now that body we received and that blood which we drink is Jesus Christ fixed forever in his physicality in the act of love in which he died for us. That's what we receive. And that can keep us alive until we too leave our bodies and go live with the Lord, only to have them back again. An immortal, as St. Irenaeus says, and I think I've quoted this about 100 times already, it is impossible for someone who has received the body and blood of Jesus Christ into his own body or her own body and doesn't turn from the Lord, it's impossible that that body see corruption forever. It's impossible. There is already the promise of the resurrection from the dead, because we have the living, throbbing, radiant body and blood within us, and that will so affect us that even though we died and our bodies corrupt, they will not stay that way, because they've been touched by the body and blood of Jesus Christ himself. That's why he wants to do this for us. I have longed to eat this Passover with you. He doesn't just say it then. He says it to us every time we enter the church for Mass. I'm longing to share this with you. I want to have you feed by me and be absorbed by me so that I can radiate through you and the world can come to know me. I can strengthen you. I can protect you. I can calm your fears. And when you die, one day, that body of yours, which has been touched by my body and blood, will be eternal. And that's what it's all about. That's why when we get to this part of the gospel, when this is being read and pondered, we really have to stop, as I wanted to do, and try to plumb a bit of the depths of this, you know, few verses that all it takes in the text. Huh? And when it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they were reclining and eating, Jesus first talked about that one of them is going to, and then, and as they were eating, verse 22, taking bread and blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, take this. This is my body. And taking the chalice and again giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank of it, all of them. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. And you just drank it and ate it. And so do we every day if we want. Every day. And so, my friends, we've done what we could with just words. Only the Holy Spirit can make all these words come alive for you. And I pray that they do, so that this gift of the Eucharist becomes the very fount of life in your being, protects you from sin, leads you back if you do sin, so that we're there with the Lord. And then, radiating the Lord, because he radiates in us, we can speak about him and bring people to know him in such an extraordinary and wonderful way. Amen.